passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, as assaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look at Rahab tonight, Lord, I hope that we could all see a little bit of ourselves in her faith. Lord, she saw your will. She saw what was coming. And Lord, she sided with you. Father, in many ways, it could be said that she had more faith than many of the people that marched with you. More faith than many of those that came before them. Lord, I pray that we see your will for what it is, sovereign and separate unto yourself. The Lord, it does not matter what we do. It does not matter what the world says. Lord, your will be accomplished. So, Lord, I pray that tonight we all find ourselves on the right side of your will. For it's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, Rahab is not a very, she's not an often talked about kind of a person. Often, probably most likely, because of how Hebrews 11 displays her. Rahab, the harlot. Now, of course, that denotes her job, what she did. And, of course, we understand that behavior to be a sin. I don't care how much they try to normalize that behavior in society over and over and over again. You see it normally, you see it sometimes throughout history. It's a very taboo thing. It's a very awful thing. And then other times, it's a very normal thing. It's a very highly esteemed thing. Well, now we're kind of taking that upturn where people who sell themselves in one way or the other, they are highly esteemed again today. But as we look at her, we see she had a life of sin. But in her culture, most likely this wasn't a very bad thing. It was a very highly esteemed thing, no doubt. But she saw that God was coming. She knew what God had intended to do. And she changed where she was to follow after God. Join me in Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. And it says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight to the children of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went out, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. I want you to imagine the position that Rahab was in. I tend to believe, just based off of number one, how easily they got up into her house, and just basically that she more likely had kind of an inn establishment there as well, there in the house. Now, this is my assumption. The Bible does not say. But the king knew, hey, we need to check out Rahab's house. Now, another part would probably be because as you see these men come in, they would look a little bit different, speak a bit different, and act a bit different than everybody else in town. And that would catch everyone's attention. You see, it was very hard to hide an army or a march like Israel at the time. Very hard to hide that. If the entire city of Mount Morrison, the township, and oh, let's throw Clio up in there too. If we all decided to go for a hike, we would be easily found, am I right? Everybody knew where they were. Oh, the gossip had to be going. Do you see that they have come? Did you see how they're finally marching this way? And of course, we see, as Rahab's going to speak later, just the level of understanding she had of God's plan at the time. So of course, they knew exactly where to find him, because the gossip probably led him right to where these men were. But Rahab, though she lied, and lying is a sin, she protected them, hid them, helped them along their way. She sided with the Lord. As we continue on in our reading, and the men pursued after them the way of Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gates. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them, upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Well, that is a whole lot to know. That's a whole lot to know, isn't it? You ever talk to people around you, and they reveal that they know a whole lot more about God than would seem right for someone who does not believe in him? Oh, I know this, and I know that, and I don't know quite what I believe in God, but I did hear this, and I did hear that, and doesn't the Bible say this? Hey, you're absolutely right, it does say that. That is what God is saying. But there are very few, and I believe that God has to lead us to that, very few that take the word of God and take God seriously and understand that God is going to do what God is going to do. Many a Baptist today struggles to believe that God is going to do what God is going to do. Rahab had given in to the idea. She was convinced of the idea. Hey, listen, I know God has given you this land. And she's saying that as she is in her own home. She's bringing them down off of her roof. I know God's given you this land. And we are terrified. There came a moment in each and every one of our lives where the word of God was made clear to us. And that knowledge that our sin had earned us an eternity in hell scared us, at least it should have, just a little bit. The truth that that is what my best could get me was an eternity in hell, that is a little nerve-wracking. To which there is only one reasonable conclusion, and that is to believe it and to want to be on the right side of it. See, there's going to come a time in the book of Revelation where all of man left here on earth, they're going to try to wage war. And God's going to show up to the war. And it's going to end like this. Today they wage war. They wage war even now. Except they wage it on the television. They wage it through education. They wage it through societal norms and pressures and things like this. Listen, when you see what's going on with advertising today, and you see the backlash and the fight and the argument over it, I tell you what, don't listen. It's smoke and mirrors. Don't pay attention to it. Right? It's all a game. Well, I think the one of the ones that was big, and then it went away and it came back again, was that they had changed the colors of the skin of the Little Mermaid. Can I tell you why? We're talking about a backlash while we're talking about people getting frustrated. Can just show me a show of hands here. Anybody here, you had a conversation about somebody being mad about the color of the mermaid? Anybody here, you participated in that conversation? No, none of us have. Why? Because most grown-ups don't talk about children's movies. So when you're sitting there and you're turning to flipping the channels on the TV and the news goes, huge backlash! You know why they do that? Because it makes people watch it. Makes people, oh, I would never care to watch a children's show about mermaids. Oh, but you see, racists don't like it. Well, then I'm going to support it. Cha-ching. Right? Cha-ching. And that's like those guys selling the emperor's new clothes. Man, they would have been raking orders in if nobody had ever said anything. Right? That's what it is. Oh, well, you're a racist, you're a homophobe, you're this or that. The homophobes, they don't like this. The racists, they don't like it. So everybody goes, all right, well, let's hurry up and get that on in here. It's smoke and mirrors. Make you care about something you wouldn't normally care about. right? I heard another sermon where it was mentioned and how wrong it is that Bud Light changed their thing. Listen, if you're upset that Bud Light is taking a dive, you ain't my kind of Christian. I'm just saying, we ain't the same. Praise the Lord, you're running out of money. Praise the Lord, you're struggling. Amen. You ought to be struggling. You ought to be dying, not just because of your spokesperson, but because of your product. I didn't like your product. I didn't like what it did to people. I don't like what it does to families. I don't like what it does to the car wreck numbers we have every year. I don't like it. The number of college kids go out there, give themselves alcohol poisoning. I don't like your product. It ought to be gone. But not because of who you got. Why do they do that? Anybody here, you thought about Budweiser in a significant period of time? No. They put that stuff on the TV. Why? Get people who don't think about it to think about it? Well, I'm not homophobic. I better drink it. Well, yeah, I would never drink it now. Makes people think about it. And then maybe some people go, well, I don't care. I never drank it before, but I'll start drinking it now because how dare people tell me I'm not allowed to drink it? Blah, blah, blah. Gets people thinking. It's a game. You know what you got to do? You got to look at that nonsense. And you got to realize God will do what He will do. Don't you see how crazy the world is? You think the world could get crazy enough God can't take care of it? Seriously. You think the world could go so far on its ear that God can't do something about it? You think that they could get so strong or so loud or so powerful they could even bring a drop of sweat to God's brow? They can't. Rahab sat there. She saw the things that God could do. And she looked at that wall she lived on. And she goes, this ain't enough. She sat there. She'd have the people coming and going out of her places. Hey, did you hear about these Israelites? Hey, what are we going to do about this? Hey, the economy. Hey, our protection. Hey, this. And she saw this. She saw how terrified they were. Saw how anxiety ridden they were. And she sat there. She goes, this is not the good side to be on. This is not who I want to be a part of. And I'll tell you what, if any of us, we get a little too sympathetic about this humanistic way of thinking out there, I want to remind you of the danger and of the hurt we are causing when we perpetuate humanism in this society. Well, brother, I don't perpetuate it. When we agree with it, we perpetuate it. Now listen, I ain't saying I gotta slap somebody in the face or be significantly rude. The Bible says I gotta approach things in love, but the truth is the truth, and I need to say the truth as the Bible says the truth. Well, do you think this or do you think that? It doesn't matter what I think. The Bible says you're messing up. The Bible says you're sinning. The Bible says you ought to stay away from this. And this is what happens. This is the penalty for sin, and you need to be aware of it. But praise God, He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. And all we would need to do is repent and trust and believe, and we could be saved. It ain't about what I think. It's what the Bible says. You're lost already. Hey, I did, you know, as the brother said, I became a member of the alphabet people for a while. God will forgive you. That's what you need. Oh, hey, listen, you know, I used to drink all the time. Does that mean I'm going to hell? Hey, listen, I committed adultery, fornication. I participated in these acts. I did these things. That must mean I'm going to hell. Probably. But it ain't just because of those. I tell you what, if gluttony was the only sin you committed, you'd still go to hell off of gluttony. You got a sin nature, and that sin nature ain't going into heaven. That's it. Praise God, though. Praise God, He's compassionate. Praise God, He don't mind bringing Ahab in, he doesn't mind bringing Rahab into the fold. She was able to sit there and tell them, I know who your God is. I know who He is. But here's my question, do you know who He is? Right? Lord says, my sheep hear my voice. And I'm known of them. Right? Do we know Him? See, I've known a lot of people who know a lot about them. You introduce yourself as a pastor and all of a sudden, bam, you've turned somebody into a theologian and they're just gibbering out everything they learned in that Sunday school class they took back when they were in first and second grade. They're just throwing it all out there. Makes theologians out of everybody just to talk to a preacher sometimes. But I tell you what, you can know a lot about my God. But if you don't know Him, you don't know anything. If you don't know Him, that ain't enough. You know, you can sit there and you can read somebody on a page and this is what they're like and this is their characteristics. And alright, then you go to meet him and you go, well, that's not who I was expecting at all. Why? Because you can't put people down on a page like that. And guess what? My God, He desires more than just an on-the-page kind of relationship with you. He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to walk with Him. He wants you to know how He thinks and know what He thinks. That's what He wants. He wants you to be beside Him. We got to have a relationship with Him. And I tell you what, they sent some spies in, what was it, 40 some odd years prior to this. And those spies went in and they came back shaken. Well, all but two of them. Oh no. Not Rahab. I've seen what your God can do. Look at how she brings this up. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. That was quite some time ago. She remembered something and trembled 40 years later that people who had just seen it chickened out of going into the land. How could she, who probably in no way had been alive during that time, and who knows, maybe she was, maybe she's just older, I don't know. But how does that have a deeper impact on her than it does the people who were there? Now, of course, that generation had passed, but mommy and daddy are going to tell some stories around the campfire, are they not? We blew it. We blew it. And there they are telling that, hey, we saw how your God did this. And we are terrified. When ye came out of Egypt, and when ye did unto, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Now listen, you got a ragtag bunch of wanderers, some, for lack of a better phrase, gypsies out there wandering around. Who's gonna win? Them or two well-established armies? From a human sense, that victory made no sense. From a human perspective, that victory made zero sense. So you know what Rahab did? She wrote that down. That God does things don't make sense. He'll sit there and He'll part the waters, dry up the land, so they're not even getting stuck in the mud. They'll go out and they'll get victory over these two kings that we're familiar with that should have cleaned their clocks. And He gave them the victory. Their God does crazy, powerful things. Things that no man can stop. She understood the sovereignty of God. She understood the power of God. And she said, sign me up. I want to be on that side. I want to be on that side. We serve a God that does a great many and wonderful things. Now, just because I want to listen here. Just because every minute's not a miracle doesn't mean God doesn't do miracles. Just because God doesn't give me everything I want, right? You talk to some people, hey, when did you stop believing in Santa Claus? Sorry, Brother Charlie. when did you stop? Typically it was always this, I asked for this and I didn't get it. I wanted this video game. I wanted that doll. I wanted this thing here, this train set, and it wasn't under the tree. You know what did it for me? My dad was playing with the toy, and then they put Santa's name on the presents. So I heard it going, oh, I got the thing I wanted. Mom and Dad got it for me. I got up the next morning and I opened it up and I looked back at the thing and it was Santa Claus. And for first I thought, well, why does Santa let my daddy play with the toys first? And boop, that was it. That was done. My tiny little mind figured it out. I got it. You know, that's when a lot of people stop believing in God. I asked you to work this out just this particular way. You didn't do it. Now, this ain't my argument for Santa Claus. God has his own sovereign will. He knows how this has to go. Listen, I'm going through a hard time right now. I can't tell you that the hard times, you always feel awesome during the hard times. But I will tell you this, just to know that God is sovereign will walk you through that thing. To know that there is a purpose and a reason that God has given that situation. That there is a reason for it and God is working it out. And you need to be a part of that. It's a great balm to the heart, isn't it? Many of you, you've been there. God didn't give me what I wanted, but he gave me what I needed. Amen? I didn't have it the way I asked for it. But as I sit right now, I'm thankful for all the many things that took place during that time that I know I would not have experienced without him. Without him being there, without his presence, without his working in my heart. She knew what they were about. As we continue on in our reading, as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. That is a mighty interesting thing for a heathen to say, isn't it? That's really interesting. That's right. That God you serve is the God of all heaven, and he's the God of all earth. Because I have found some of God's children who do not think or act as though he is those things. Do you really believe that God is the God of all heaven and earth and control of every passable, possible thing? Then what do we got to worry about? What do we have to have anxiety about? Why is there all of this doubt in our lives? Why is it that we commit to sin after sin as though we don't think that God's watching? Why is it that we don't seek his will and his face in every decision? I've given that advice to people in the past. Well, you could do that, but you ain't going to be fulfilling God's will. Well, how do you know what God's will is for my life? Well, you'd have to do this, and that's a sin. You'd have to do this, and that would be spiritually detrimental to you. Those two things alone, I wouldn't go that way. Well, yeah, sometimes you gotta sin a little. No. No, you don't. You do not. You don't have to compromise. You've got to protect your spirit, protect your soul as we talk this morning. You got to keep it in shape. You got to be in obedience to the Lord. It is necessary. If Rahab saw but two things and she believed in God more than she believed in any of the things that she had been taught to that moment, any of the things that she'd enjoyed up to that moment, if she saw those, laid those things aside because of who she saw God was, why can't we? Why can't we? I've seen more than two of God's workings in my life. I have. And I continue to see God's blessing and his work in things time and time and time again. Where things that have no business happening, things that should not happen, have happened. You know, I think again, I hate to keep using this as an illustration, but as my uncle was passing away, no life insurance. No money, no real possessions to speak of. And if you've ever had anybody go down that road and they're in that position where they've passed away and there's no money to bury them, you've got one option. And as Christians, we have a hard time using that option. I don't like that option. So the other thing is, what do you do? The family pitches in together. Well, I'll tell you this, there wasn't a lot to pitch in. And guess who they put in charge of that? Hello. Sat there, I feel that ulcer growing. So I go, well, he had a friend that he was real close to, the funeral home business. Picked up that phone. All right, I'll come get him. I'm so sorry. I'll come get him. He was a good friend of mine. I go, well, before you come get him, I want to let you know, I don't know anything about a life insurance policy. I can't find anything. He goes, oh, no, that was my best friend. I'm covering this. I told you about that little plot of land we have down in Kentucky where his mom and his dad are buried. He always wanted to go down to Kentucky. Well, he ain't going down to Kentucky. He calls me. He says he's on the phone with me. He goes, and I'm taking him down to Kentucky. He made me promise. He had that mortician's license. He could do that. In a 4-minute phone call, that burden was lifted. That ain't supposed to happen, is it? Another way that's supposed to happen. You can sit there and you can argue whether God was trying to bless him or he was trying to bless me. I've got my opinion on it. That's not supposed to happen. You know, we brought this up. We were talking about kids. Hey, I've got one cousin. She goes, well, I don't have any kids. I'm not having any kids. And I go, okay. And she kind of looked over. How many kids you got? I go, 4. She goes, oh. Like I was some kind of a mutant, you know. Not only do I have children, but I went to 4, you know. She did this, and Maris, I know you'll like this. I have fur children. That sounds awful. I hope they find a cure. You know, I hope they find a cure. Listen, if you can lock it in a crate or leave it to go to the bathroom in a box, it's not a child, you know. I love my dog. I love that dog like I love a person, right? They're supposed to say, no, the love you have for your animal is this kind of love in the Greek. No, that dog, I love that dog very, very much. But it is not a child. But the point I'm trying to get to is this, you know. Well, how many do you got? 4. And I told her our testimony because I like telling this testimony. I wasn't supposed to have any. There they are. Oh, there's one. There they are. You know what I mean? Hey, listen, you know, I grew up with a very debilitating speech impediment. I talked high and I stuttered. And listen, I ain't saying that I'm perfectly cured, but I think I do a whole lot better. I think my speech therapist would have been real proud of me, you know. Things that aren't supposed to happen. We've got a member of our church right now, wasn't supposed to last for as long as she has, and by God's grace, she has! I've seen more than the 2 Rahab has. I got no excuse to ever doubt him or to sit there and think, well, how is this going to happen? God will work it out. And I tell you what, we always got our way of doing things, don't we? God's not going to abide by your way of doing things. Why? Because his thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways, and praise him for it. Because I've made more than a couple messes in my life. How about you? I've forgotten some things and skipped over some things and some things have eluded my mind. Happens all the time. God ain't ever forgotten a promise. God's never missed a beat. He's never had an off day. We can trust him. We can rely on him. We ought to know our God. We ought to know what our God does for us. Can you sit there and say you know? You've counted the blessings. You've relied on the promises. You know who he is. You know he cares for you. We continue on with what she says. And I heard a commentator say this one time about it. Well, those men, you know what house they found? Like casting aspersions on these men because they ended up in Rahab's house. I have a theory. Now, this is a theory. This isn't Bible. This is theory. Follow me. Where was Rahab's house? On the wall. Where on the wall? At a right enough spot to where she could have access to the roof. Now, is it likely that Rahab saw these guys coming? Is it likely that she had heard the rumors, knew who they were, saw them coming, knew what was coming, saw them or heard of them in the marketplace, and said, you come here? Why? Because she was a harlot and she was trying to make some money? No, I think she had a plan. Well, brother, why do you think she had a plan? Good question. Let's keep reading. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye shall also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. You know what she did? She believed God, she'd heard of God, and she wanted to be saved from the judgment to come. She had heard what God was planning on doing. She had heard what was coming, and she asked for God's mercy. That is the perfect illustration of any one of us Gentiles who had seen the destruction to come, who had heard of hell and our place in it, and reached out to God for mercy and said, save me. Save me. And not just our salvation. Many of you have it. And I pray if you're here without salvation that you consider Rahab for a second. Her desire for salvation. Her desire to be on the right side of God. Lord, please save me. But not just me. But my family. Not just me. But those of my Father's house. You know, it's not just regular everyday salvation that we need. We need saved from our own desires, saved from our own doing of things, right? We need continuous protection from God's judgment. Doesn't He chasten whom He loves? Doesn't He? As I said this morning, the best way to stay out of trouble is to not get into it. Am I right? Don't do anything wrong. Won't get in no trouble. I need the Lord to teach me. I need Him to show me. We talk about discipline, right? And I've told you there's two different kinds of discipline. There's corrective discipline. There's formative discipline. I love the fact that God puts so much emphasis on formative discipline. This is how to do it. This is what you need to understand about the life around you. This is what you need to understand about your sin nature and the desires that come out of it. This is how you control these things. He teaches us and teaches us. We need that. Because even though we're saved from an eternity in hell, sometimes we need to have our lives saved from the damage we'll do to it. We need that. And again, going back to her request, and my family. And my family. Remember the jailer? Remember the keeper of the jail? Oh, that earthquake came. Paul and Silas were in those jail cells, convincing all of them, hey, nobody go anywhere. Let's just stay right where we are. Which, by the way, is amazing because I don't know of a single prisoner that could be told to stop and they would stop when it came down to getting their freedom. Now, nobody go anywhere. Nobody went anywhere. Providence of God, right? So when that jailer came down and he knew that those Romans would take his life because of those prisoners that left, he was ready to take his own life to make it easier on them. Stop, wait, hey, we're still here. Oh, tell me how I can be saved. Amen. Come on up, come see my family. And who got baptized? Who came to know the Lord? The whole family. Providence of God again, right? Amen? Providence of God. Why was Paul and Silas in that jail? Because there was a whole group of elect that the Lord needed to contact. Right? I tell you what, these people nowadays, these marketers, they find creative ways to get to us. Oh, they'll ding up on your Facebook. We're trying to get a hold of you for your extended warranty. We got something in the mail yesterday. It looked like a check. But it was $199 towards buying a new warranty. They're clever. You know how the Lord gets the news out to where it needs to go? He sends something direct. I'll put Paul and Silas in your jail. Now, if you're Paul and Silas, that's a bit of a bummer, but they enjoyed the process. They enjoyed the whole thing, didn't they? It was brutal. It was awful, but it didn't stop them from sitting there praising the Lord and trusting in Him, and their faith was growing, and oh, what a wonderful thing. But that the elect were there. They needed to be there. And just like that jailer said, hey, me, and not just me, but my family, Rahab said the same. And we know how the story goes. Going back to Hebrews 11, we see what happened. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days, sure enough. But who got to come out? Rahab and her family. And hey, don't we see Rahab's name again? We do. We see it in a genealogy. Well, now, wait a minute. That don't seem right. Let me remind you again of God's redemptive power. Well, if God's going to be so forgiving, why did he condemn those people there at Jericho? Why did he not just bring everybody over? Well, let me tell you something. Did you know that when God talked to Abraham, he was not reaching out to people to set up something for the first time? Did you know that? That when it was Adam and Eve in the garden, out of the garden, and they were making sacrifices, all men were supposed to be doing that. And over the course of time, they left that practice. And wickedness came in. And before the flood of Noah, things were terrible. Things were awful. Every man just doing evil continually. They left. So there's Noah and his family. What do? When they get out of the ark? Sacrifice. But you fast forward some more time. What has happened again? Everybody has gone their own way. At one particular point, we were all under that. But we had gone our own way. God putting his hand upon Abraham was establishing his people out of him. But at one time, we were all his people. Those people that lived in that land, they were not innocent. They had turned from God. If you're still sitting there worshiping stone idols for the sensuality that you're allowed to practice and for the fleshly ways, the carnal ways that you get to worship, if you're still worshiping them while there is another God out there parting the waters, you have a problem. I believe they could have all done that from the beginning. They could have honored God. And it would have gone on, but God's will worked out, didn't it? He knew what they would do. You give him free will, that's what's going to happen. Give him free will. That's what they're going to do. It's like those people, they keep the most vilest pets. There's a woman right now in Florida, she is fighting to be able to legally keep her pet alligator that she has trained. It is a trained alligator. He just can't keep a chihuahua or a child or anything. In this wild, it was one of those Florida woman stories. Allegedly, the thing can drive a four-wheeler. I didn't click too much into it. You hear that? The alligator can drive a four-wheeler. I'm out. That doesn't seem legit. That doesn't seem like a legitimate story. But could you imagine that? Oh, insane. What's that creature going to do? You can't train an alligator. You know what it's eventually going to do? Get hungry. Get irritated. Oh, we had a pet bear. Oh, okay, wonderful. Oh, that pet bear won't hurt anybody. It is the sweetest, most gentlest pet bear you could ever have. It is beautiful. You reach out to him years later. Hey, whatever happened to your kid? Well, see, the ugly inside will always come out. The predator inside will always come out. And that's what happens. We've got free will. If we've got the ability to choose anything we want, we open the door to being able to choose some truly awful things. And do we not see that in this world today? Have we not always seen that out of mankind? So do not feel any pity for the Jerichonians or the people of this land. They had the chance and they rebuked, they turned away from the Lord. They rebuked that kind of a teaching and they made war with that teaching time and time again. After this point, they hated God. They hated his statutes regardless of what they had seen. And let me remind you, if Rahab knew about it, if all the people trembled, but none of the people bowed, that tells you the extent of the rebellion in their hearts. Everybody trembled before him, but nobody bowed. I believe Rahab sought this opportunity out. And if she didn't, she still took advantage of this opportunity. I've got them there. I want to be a part of that. Whatever that is. I see what your God can do. I want to be a part of it. Now let me tell you this. We are a part of it, are we not? Are we not a part of it? Are you glad to be a part of it? Are you excited? Are you still in it going, hey, listen, if he could part the waters and he can move this and If he could extend the life of his people and he could put me in the right place at the right time and have this happen, and if little old me could be a part of it, if God can do all that, there's nothing in my life I can't trust him with. Each and every individual we've looked at through this, what we would call the Hall of Faith, each and every one of them showed some kind or different characteristic of what faith is. How many of them, if we were to go through and check the box, could we say, I've got that kind of faith going okay? Where I could see what God is doing, and I am so ready, like Moses, to leave behind the sin for a season. Or like Rahab, I can see who God is, and I am more convinced of him than I am of this wall I've built. I mean, that wall must have been quite intimidating. You ever see a wall people could live in comfortably? I mean, she probably ran some kind of multi-room kind of a thing going on there. That must have been a great big old place. She didn't have no faith in it compared to God. What human artifice or construction do you think is stronger than God? What man-made human thing could ever be stronger or impervious to God? And if that be the case, whose side am I really on? Well, if I live too loudly in my Christian faith, people will know and will bring persecution. Persecution's coming for them. It's my job to warn them it's coming. Whatever they want to do to me, that's their choice. They've done worse to better people than me, I'll tell you. But I'm going to stand here, and I'm going to believe in the power of God. I know what he can do, and there is nothing, we should be able to say, there is nothing that would stop me from following after him. And there is nothing that can happen to me here on earth that he himself cannot control. I mean, even the devil himself, when he sought to go after Job. All right, go ahead. Don't touch his body. You know what the devil, for all of his cunning and all of his wit and all of his knowledge, you know what the one thing he couldn't do? He couldn't touch his body. Can you imagine how frustrating that must be for him? Not just because God didn't give him permission and he respected God's opinion. There was no way for him to do it. Because God said don't. There's no way for him to do it. And then we said, all right, go ahead. Then and only then. And when God put an end to it all, guess what? It was over. The devil couldn't come back to visit old Job again. When God blessed him back with way more than what he had before, the devil couldn't touch it. Why? Because God told him he couldn't. Come on. If not even the devil could go against the will of God, who do we put our trust in? Our walls? Society around us? How about this? You trust the economy more than you trust God? I tell you what, my body's about as healthy as the U.S. economy right now, isn't it? Right? Not very stable. Not very stable. How about this? How about the government? You trust the government? I don't. Why? It's made up of people. Hungry, greedy, evil sometimes people. I'm not just bad. I mean, we're all wicked sinners, but there's some evil up there, isn't there? That's the one thing right and left both agree on. We don't trust them. You know what I mean? The problem is we keep trusting these people who say, all right, you can't. I mean, on the right side, you can't trust them. On the left side, you can't trust them. And we're the solution. And both sides fall for it. Oh, you're what we need. You know what we need? We need a Holy Ghost revival in this country. That'll be what we need. Anything short of the Lord, we're going to fail. Anything short of him, that's my answer. That's what I'm waiting on. That ought to be our faith. Our faith ought to be as strong as God is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we can trust you, for you are strong. Lord, there is nothing that moves you, nothing that changes you, and Lord, nothing that can stop you. We but have a choice. We can be a part of your grace. Lord, we could take the punishment that our sin nature has dealt us. Father, we are grateful for the salvation that Rahab and her family received. Lord, we're thankful for our salvation. And Lord, all the miracles you bring into our lives so that one, we can be delivered, and two, we can see your power. You are a mighty God, and Lord, it is a pleasure to serve you. For it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.